To introduce our lesson, let's read Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And immediately the Spirit driveth him, that is Jesus, into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Passage that we have mentioned many, many times over the years is 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, which teaches us to continually grow in the knowledge of our Savior. But in order to accomplish that very important objective, we have to go to the right source for information. And Jesus revealed the proper source in John 5 and verse 39. He said, "Search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So in order to increase our knowledge of the Lord, we have to go to the right source for information. This time of year, there's a lot of attention placed on movies that are made about our Lord. And at the present time, one particular movie is being promoted. And I have seen several times a clip from that movie. The character who's playing the Lord makes a statement. Now, I grant you, I have not seen the context in which this statement is made, and I don't have any intention of watching the movie. But the clip says, this is someone playing the role of the Lord. He said, "I am the law of Moses." Well, I've been studying this old book for a long time. And I have never found the passage where Jesus said, "I am the law of Moses." I've read a number of times where Jesus said that he came to fulfill the law. He had the highest respect for the law of Moses. But I've never found where Jesus said, "I am the law of Moses." Well, if someone is not familiar with the Scriptures and they hear that particular statement, they just might take it that that's what the Lord said. Well, we have to go to the right source for information to grow in the knowledge of our Savior. Well, for a little while, we want to look at some verses that tell us what we need to know about the occasion when Jesus was tempted by Satan. We were just singing one of my favorite songs, "Tell Me the Story of Jesus." And the second verse has to do with the Lord's temptations. I thought it'd be appropriate for us to sing that song in connection with our lesson. But we need to know what the Bible teaches concerning the occasion when Jesus was tempted by Satan. And then based on that information, we can consider some other information that will help us know how to face temptation. But we want to begin by looking at the Lord's example. Well, let's begin by showing that Jesus was indeed tempted by Satan. Now, we've read a very brief account in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And if you will examine the context, you will see that there are three very important events mentioned that involved our Lord. In verses 9 through 11, Mark showed that Jesus was baptized. That was a very important event. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What a special event that was when Jesus went to the Jordan River and was baptized by John. And then, of course, as we've already read, Mark tells us about the Lord's temptation. Now, that's a very brief account. But then after the temptation, we find that Jesus began his ministry. That's the third very special event that's mentioned in the context. Look at verses 14 and 15. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." So after Jesus was baptized and before he actually began his ministry, He went through this time of temptation. As I've mentioned several times, Mark gives us a very brief account. Let's take the time to look at some more detailed accounts. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4 and read verses 1 through 11. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. That's Matthew's account. Let's also read Luke's account. Luke chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 through 13. Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into in a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Matthew and Luke supply us with some additional details concerning the Lord's temptation that are not found in the Gospel of Mark. You will notice that there's a difference between Matthew's account and Luke's account concerning the order in which the temptations took place. There's a simple explanation. Luke does not always record things in chronological order. This is not the only place. So just keep that in mind when you're studying the Gospel of Luke. He records the same details that are found in the other Gospel accounts, but sometimes he does not follow the exact chronological order. So there's no contradiction at all. Now, as we study the Lord's temptation, we need to keep certain things in mind. For example, after the Lord was baptized, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. Now, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for a reason, so that he would be tempted. That's a very important point that we need to keep in mind as we study the Lord's temptation. He was baptized And then the Spirit led him out into the wilderness where he went through this time of temptation. That period of temptation didn't last just a few minutes. It lasted 40 days. And you'll notice that one of the writers said it was 40 days and 40 nights. Now, that's very specific, isn't it? And Jesus fasted during that time. Now, sometimes the word fast is used in a sense where maybe someone does not eat very much. Luke tells us that the Lord did eat nothing. So the Bible is very clear in showing that Jesus went through a long period of fasting. Jesus was alone. He was only accompanied by the wild animals. I've studied this for years, but in studying this account for our lesson, something occurred to me that I really hadn't paid much attention to before. The gospel writers teach us that Jesus was alone. There was no one else with him. He didn't have a friend that he could lean on for help. But at the same time, the fact that no one else was there was something else to have to endure. You know, if we're all alone and we're tempted to do something that's not right, we might look this way, we might look that way, and if no one is around to see what's taking place, we might be tempted to go ahead and do whatever that action is. There was no one there to tell whether Jesus obeyed God or disobeyed God. But Jesus still did what was right. He never transgressed the will of God. I just thought it was interesting that the Lord was all alone. He was only accompanied by the wild animals. There was no one there to lean upon for support. And what a blessing that is to have brothers and sisters that we can turn to for assistance. And the New Testament has a lot to say about that blessing. But Jesus also, you know, he could have been tempted to go ahead and disobey God because no one else would see him. Well, that never has been a legitimate excuse for disobeying God. Sometimes we might be thinking that if no one sees, well, who knows and who cares? God sees and God cares. So Jesus was all alone. He was only accompanied by the wild animals. Well, let's turn our attention to the actual temptations. Basically, we'll be following Matthew's account. And according to Matthew 4, verses 2 through 4, Satan first tempted Jesus to make bread from stone. Now, the Bible teaches us that after that 40-day period of fasting, Jesus was hungry. I have thought to myself many times, I'd never make it 40 days. But our Lord did. And Luke tells us he ate nothing. Can you imagine how weak he was? Can you imagine how much he wanted to eat? Well, there's the devil. And he says, command these stones to be made bread. Jesus needed to eat because he had gone so long without eating. And Jesus certainly had the power to do what the devil tried to get him to do. Let's look at Matthew chapter 14 and read about the occasion when Jesus fed 5,000 men with five loaves and two fish. Matthew chapter 14, let's start at verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. Jesus took that small amount of food, 5 loaves and 2 fish, and fed this great crowd of people. 5,000 men are mentioned. That did not include the ladies and the children. That was a crowd of people. And Jesus demonstrated his divine power by feeding all those people with that small amount of food. Also, Matthew chapter 15. Jesus fed 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few fish. Matthew 15, let's start at verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples saying to him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7, and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. So we've read about those two miracles that the Lord performed to show that he had the power to command stones to be made bread. Jesus needed to eat because he was hungry. But if the Lord had performed that miracle, he would have been doing Satan's will. And Jesus was not going to do that. He applied the words found in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3 to that particular situation. Let's read them again. No doubt these words are very familiar to us. This is Matthew 4 and verse 4. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So Jesus was tempted by Satan to make some food. But Jesus did not give in to that temptation. He relied upon the strength that's given in the Word of God to overcome Satan's temptation. But then, in verses 5 through 7 of Matthew 4, Satan tempted Jesus to cast himself down from the pinnacle of the temple. Now, Satan has all kinds of tricks that he will use. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us to beware of the wiles of the devil. That means his tricks. He's very deceitful. He tried appealing to the Lord's physical needs. That didn't work. So he took a different approach. And I think it's interesting that this time he actually quoted scripture. He quoted from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. Now, he took the passage completely out of context. The writer of Psalm 91 was showing how God blessed and protected his people under the old covenant. Satan took one particular statement, misapplied it, and tried to convince Jesus that he needed to cast himself down from the pinnacle of the temple, that he would not be harmed. Jesus responded to that temptation by once again going to the book of Deuteronomy. This time, he quoted the words that are found in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16. It is written again, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." See, Jesus understood that tempting or testing God is a violation of God's will. And he wasn't going to do that. He knew God's will because he had this scripture hidden in his heart. And that's a very key point. But then there's the third temptation that we read about in verses 8, 9, and 10 of Matthew 4. Satan tempted Jesus to worship him. Now, Satan has already tried twice. He used different tactics both times, but now he used a different tactic. He promised to give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. You know, I've thought about that many times over the years. And I can think of many men over the years who would have jumped at that. Because the hunger for power has a very strong hold on many people. Jesus responded by applying the words found in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 13. "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Jesus actually said, "Get thee hence, Satan." And he was quoting by saying, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Jesus was tempted by Satan. That seems that Jesus was tempted during that 40-day period. Perhaps these are the three final temptations that Satan placed before our Lord. But Jesus overcame. And after those temptations, Satan left Jesus, but Luke tells us that he left him for a season. He would be back. Maybe this will help us better appreciate what's written in Hebrews 4 and verse 15, where the writer of Hebrews tells us that Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now later in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12 verses 1 and 2, we're taught to keep our eyes focused on the Lord as we endeavor to run the Christian race. We're to run the race that is set before us with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, we have things in common with the Lord. We've seen something today that we have in common with him. We face temptation. Jesus faced temptation when he was here on the earth. I think I've mentioned this before, but I'll mention again. A very dear friend of mine told me that he did not believe that Jesus was tempted. I asked him how he reached that conclusion. He says, "Well, James chapter 1 says that God cannot be tempted with evil. Jesus was God in the flesh. Therefore, Jesus could not be tempted." I said, "Well, let's think about that." And I showed him the passage which says that Jesus was tempted. I said, "We've got to come to a proper understanding of this." I said, "It is true that God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, because James tells us that. However, when Jesus came to earth, he came in the flesh so that he could be tempted, face all the difficulties and trials that we face, so he would in turn be qualified to serve as our merciful and faithful high priest. My friend said, you know, I never thought about it that way. I said, well, we always have to look at passages in connection with what is revealed in the rest of Scripture. If we take out one little statement, we might come up with a conclusion that's not right. Well, Jesus was tempted. Consequently, he's able to empathize with us in our weaknesses. He understands exactly what we go through. Well, what we need to do is follow the Lord's example. He hid the Lord's word in his heart so that he would avoid transgressing the will of God. The writer of Psalm 119 and verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Let's be sure that we follow his example.